Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak is a Canadian citizen from Montreal. In 2003, he went back to the Sudan to visit his sick mother. There, he was thrown into jail at the request of the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, and he was tortured. After his release, he spent 14 months living in the Canadian Embassy in Khartoum, waiting while the federal government refused to provide him with travel documents to get back to Canada. The group Project Fly Home organized 150 Canadians to buy Abdulrazak a ticket that he was only able to use after a federal court ordered the Canadian government to issue him a passport. Since Abdulrazak returned home in June of last year, he has been unable to put his life back together because his name remains on what is called the UN 1267 list. Project Fly Home recently organized a telethon to raise money and awareness about his situation. Mary Foster is with Project Fly Home. She joins me now from Montreal. Good morning, Mary, and thanks for joining us on the phone.
Hi.
What has it meant for Abdulrazak that his name is still on the 1267 list?
Well, it's basically of importance to him two sets of sanctions. One is a travel ban, and the other is financial sanctions.
Could you give us a little detail on the how that travel ban works and how that freezing of assets works?
Travel ban, that's partly how the government justified keeping him out of Canada. It works much the same as a no-fly list. He has not tested it since he's come back to Canada. He has no wish to travel at the moment, but it's still a restriction on his freedom should he wish to travel in the future. The financial sanctions is of much more immediate concern to him. The way it's implemented in Canada means that if any Canadian is to give him a gift or a loan or a salary even, they could be charged criminally. The law in Canada says that anyone who's on this list cannot receive, well, they can receive it, but the person who gives would be committing a criminal act. So providing directly or indirectly any funds to someone on this list in Canada is an infraction according to current Canadian regulations implementing the 1267. Moreover, any financial service is also criminalized under this regime. For example, Abdulrazak tried to open a bank account on the first few times he tried. When he got back here in Canada, he was refused. Finally, he managed to find a bank that, for whatever reason, opened a bank account, but then promptly froze his bank account maybe 2-3 weeks afterwards. A financial freeze then means that you can't do simple things like get a job, open a bank account, receive gifts from people. It's very far-reaching measure.
I understand that his wife, who died of cancer, left some funds to him, but he can't even access that.
Well, those funds are in the form of, here in Quebec, we have a regime by which if someone dies, they can pass on their pension to their survivor. It's called a survivor's pension. And this is what she did. So it's a very small stipend, but all the time while he was in Sudan, that accumulated. And so when he came back to Quebec, he tried to access his survivor's pension. He needed a bank account in order to cash the check. And that was then frozen, so he's not able to access that money that essentially is a bequest from his wife.
And how did he get on this 1267 list?
Well, the way it works is that it's a Security Council decision, so any member of the Security Council can present a name and say, we want this person to be listed. the other Security Council members would then agree, and that name is put on the list. You are not told in advance that this is under consideration. You don't know what kind of allegations are being made against you, except in a very general and vague sense. And you, no evidence is given to you ever. So his name apparently was put on by one of the members of the Security Council. It seems that it was the United States. It's not clear what their motivation was. They did that in just after his second release from prison in Sudan. So as soon as he got out, he started trying to come back to Canada, and then was called in by a Canadian official who explained his name was on this list and that that would make it almost impossible for him to come back to Canada. And indeed, it took another 3 years and a lot of public campaigning and then, as you mentioned, a court order before the government was forced to bring him back to Canada. So it acted as a as an effective means of preventing him from returning to Canada and telling his story. Now, if that was the motivation, we don't know. This is all speculation. But the timing certainly fits that thesis.
Does he have any opportunity to get his name removed from the list?
The 1267 regime is known as being very easy to get on the list and then very difficult to get off. There are official mechanisms, formal mechanisms for an individual to try to get off the list. But what it requires is a state to champion your cause, and this is something that Canada has not yet done. Canada's official position is that he should be removed from the list, but they have not followed that up apparently by action or effective action because he remains on the list. There's no procedural, there's no transparent process. So from the outside, it's not clear how these decisions are made. The only thing we know is that it requires a unanimous decision of all the state parties, of all the states who are part of the Security Council in order to get off the list. So from what we've learned in trying to look into this situation, states will use different individuals as bargaining chips. For a while, apparently, Russia was refusing to let anyone off the list, including people who were dead, for political reasons. The United States, on the other hand, recently wanted people who are, in fact, members of the Taliban to come off the list because they had agreed to cooperate with their strategy in Afghanistan. So it's a very politicized process, and people like Abdulrazak, who are not well-connected and don't have the backing of apparently of their government in any substantial way, are left in this situation indefinitely.
So you organized a telethon. What did you hope to achieve with this?
We had hoped to achieve two things. It's a sanctions-busting telethon. So what we did was invite people to openly donate to Abdulrazak and invite the government to respond in some way to this. Is this illegal? If so, respond and show us that it's illegal. We wanted to put a pressure on the government and directly on the UN 1267 committee to take a look at why this man is on this list. At the same time, we wanted to create awareness of his situation broadly in Canada and bring together people around in solidarity with him and opposing this kind of so-called anti-terrorist regime.
What response have you got?
We had more than 170 people phone in, which is... I think significant. It's I guess you could call it a civil disobedience action. So it's fairly significant numbers for that kind of action in Canada, and it seems to be growing as well. Every day we're getting new communications with people as word gets out about this action.
And you raised some money immediately for Mr. Abdulrazak, but is he able to use that money?
Well, Yeah, we did. We managed to raise some significant funds, I think $6,000 or $7,000 to date, which is certainly helpful for him in the short term. Yes, we've found ways of making that money available to him.
Can people still contribute? You said there was something ongoing, so what would people who are listening now and would like to both challenge the law and give some practical support, what can they do?
Well, they can definitely contribute. They can perhaps take a look at our website where that information is laid out clearly. But if people want to send checks in the name of Abu Sufyan Abdurazak to the address that they will find on our website, that money will get to him.
And your website is
People's Commission, all one word, .org. And then you'll see the box for Abdurazak. So if you click on Abdurazak's box, his website will come up.
And what are your next steps in the campaign?
Actually, next week we'll be moving forward with more support in a new direction. May, because it's traditionally the Labor Month, is we've really focused on his right to work, which is being also, as I explained earlier, jeopardized by this regime. So we are really focusing on his right to work in freedom and dignity. And if you stay tuned with us, either by looking at our website or asking to join our news list, you'll receive word of an action in that regard next week.
Wonderful. We will stay tuned. And thank you very much, Mary, for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Mary Foster. She is with Project Fly Home. It's in Montreal. And the address, once again, to find out how to contribute to the campaign, you can write an email and get that information, projectflyhome@gmail.com, or else look at the website peoplescommission.org.